Okay. We normally have 15 minutes for this, and we normally give people 3 minutes apiece, so if you can say your piece in like 2 minutes, because there's a lot of you, that would be really good. We'll just remind everybody that, state your name at the beginning so we can have that for the record. So...
We are 36 minutes into this, and halfway through this, we're well ahead of where we usually are. So I would suggest that each person gets 3 minutes. That would be 21 as opposed to 15 for audience input.
That's a good idea. If we can do that, that's great. One of the issues is that there is a meeting in this room late this evening, so we're trying to get out. If we can't, we can't, but we're working towards that, and I think...
I made the motion. Let's get started.
The unfinished business and new business will take, I think, a little bit of time, too.
What time is the meeting that we need to be out here for?
5:30. It's a first aid class that was scheduled.
About 2 hours. I think we can do it.
All right. So.
I just have a real quick
name. Name? State your name.
Quick question. I'm just curious what's going on with the Jerry Martin investigation.
I think that's something that we can't answer right now, so that has to do with an employee and concerning matters of litigation of employees, ex-employees, so I don't think we can answer that.
I was just thinking timeline.
What do you mean timeline?
Bill, did you say you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I'll try to keep under that 3 minutes. I understand that there's an interlocal agreement that's going through various drafts. One of the things I'd like to recommend is that the drafts be numbered and or dated so that as they come out, when people are talking, they know which version they're talking about. And I'm happy to see in the last couple drafts that I've looked at, I think there's a great deal of improvement on that agreement, a lot more clarification. I think the timelines on it are the timetables for the lengths of the agreement, and that's moving in the right direction. So I hope there'll be more going on. I understand there's one that's out right now that's probably just posted. I haven't seen that one yet. So, and I would say in that I would recommend that the process is that, you know, we get it out, we have an opportunity for the community to look at it, understand it. I'm hopeful that as you move forward that you'll use the same kind of process that you use when you're trying to get a levy approved or so on, because I think you're trying to get the community to understand where you're going and at the same time to support it and feel good about it. I know that people in the community, we're providing medical services with timely, efficient transportation, EMS. But the medical services is a big part of that, my definition of it. And as a community member, I want to ensure that wherever we go, whichever path we take, that there's continually emphasis on the medical services side of it. I don't want us to lose that. I also know that there's three things that need to be linked together in any sort of an organizational structure, and that is the responsibilities, who's responsible for what, the authorities that they have to carry out those responsibilities, and the accountabilities, as to who are they accountable to. And I think in this chain, the community is the highest level of people that need to be accountable to. So if you design a structure where the community loses its ability to feel like what's going on is somehow under their control through votes and things like that, then I think that would be a mistake. So I urge you to try to link those things together in whatever direction you go. And I guess my last comment would be is I'm aware that there's three major roads that you could travel down now. As EMS, you could continue on with exactly the way it has been. It is. Of course, you're always trying to improve that, and I've seen lately in the last year, I'm seeing some things that I really like with the directions you're going. The second road is the interlocal agreement. It's sort of halfway, you're taking a step toward the third road, which is the integration, fire and EMS. I would urge carefulness in the second road, the interlocal agreement, because in a way you're trying to ride two horses. You've got two organizations here. You're trying to step from one to the next. There's a chance for complications and confusions. So if you're going to go down that road, I would really urge you to do what they say in the Robert's Rules of Order. There's a consulting group that talks about it. They say slow down. Give a chance for people to think about what you're doing and give you comments back. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Dr. Dawson?
Dr. John Diamond.
Diamond, sorry.
Past member of this hospital district board in the early 90s, and as a family physician who practiced at Inter Island Medical Center from 90 to 97, I have just several comments. I'm aware somewhat of some of the issues and some of the versions that are coming forward now of the interlocal agreement. And it's apparent to me that there are a lot of areas that need a lot of discussion and clarification, and both within this group and the public and the incoming board members. In just 3 months, we'll have a new board. And so I think going fast on this would be highly risky, and the new board should be fully involved with going through the advantages and disadvantages of the several options. A second point is we're aware of many of us that there's a national trend that of 911 calls, fire is a decreasing proportion of all the calls, and medical is a greatly increasing one. I'm aware of a recent article in New York Times in New York City. It's an 80-20 split, 80% medical and 20% fire. I think our numbers on the island, such as I've heard, I'm not expert on that, the same kind of thing is going on. So I would wonder if the majority or calls are medical, whether fire is the place to be responsible. So that's about where I come down. I would urge slowing down the process, getting the new board members fully involved, and looking at the advantages and disadvantages of each of the approaches, Bill.
Thank you.
I can dovetail on that. My name is Gayla Sheen Sykes, and I'm a candidate for the board this year. I think we're going to get in because I'm going to vote for myself, and then I think that's all it takes, right? And Everett Clary is here too, and he's another new board member. I have a letter to read from the incoming board about this, the possibility of the integration of EMS and the fire district. We would also urge that you thoughtfully approach any proposal to transfer supervision of EMS to the fire district to ensure that it will result in the best possible medical care for our community. We understand that you might be considering relieving the interim EMS chief of his duties by contracting out those responsibilities. We believe that such a decision should not be rushed, especially given repeated statements by the two chiefs that they're working well together to explore the overall structure of an integrated EMS fire district. If you do feel the need to enter into an agreement, we inherit the situation no matter what it is as hospital district employees. We request that you embrace best practices and the public interest by making this the subject of discussion only at a meeting held at a time when working people can attend with the proper amount of notice, with at least 2 weeks notice when you have a proposal you're thinking of voting on. Maintaining fiscal neutrality by decreasing the EMS expenses in an amount commensurate with the contract cost. Make sure all the finances are in order. Assure that the fire district has the authority and all the licenses and insurance necessary to oversee EMS. Expressly indemnify the hospital district and its commissioners in the event that the district oversight leads to claims against the hospital district, who will be responsible financially and legally for whatever contract is entered into. Allow the commissioners to set the fire chief's reporting requirements to the hospital district. and include a provision allowing for for cause termination of the agreement at a cost to be shared by both parties. In the current draft, the term material breach would need to be defined by both parties so it is more accurate and clear. And also that the termination time is 6 months right now, and that should be shortened also potentially to avoid possible problems that may come up. So I, like everybody else, I just suggest slowing the process down and making sure we do it right, because this is a big chance to really create a wonderful program, and it seems like it needs time to make sure we get all the pieces in place. Thank you for your public service, and we look forward to carrying forward the work you have done on behalf of our community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
We need to get a copy of that.
We have a copy of that afterwards.
Everett?
Yes, I'm Everett Clary. I'm also likely to be another incoming commissioner, assuming my wife votes for me, or maybe a friend or two. I think... As I did also sign on that letter and agreeing with what's in it, I think overall my feelings on this, since I attended the steering committee meetings, is that I was quite surprised that the IGA, that this intergovernmental agreement, was the approach that was taken, since during the steering committee meetings, it did not seem to be favored when this idea was floated. In fact, it was pretty universally not favored by the people attending the meeting, except by the chiefs. So I was quite surprised, since I missed the last meeting, that was what happened. This actually feels, if we've had the experience, of a little bit like a marriage that was about to happen and you didn't feel comfortable. You sort of wish you could tell the people, slow down, because if you don't watch out, in a few days you're going to wake up, or a few months you're going to wake up, and it's going to already have happened, and they're a lot easier to get into than out of. When time to get out of, it can be really expensive and really painful. So let's go slow, and maybe even consider not doing it this way, because this is a big step. And if the people of the community see it this way as suddenly happening without their input, then we're going to have real trouble. So let's go slow. That's how I feel about it.
Thanks, Everett.
Well, that's going to be a perfect segue for me, though. My name is Gene Wilson. For those of you who don't know, I'm Frank Wilson's little brother. I'd like to applaud you for slowing this down a little bit. I know you guys are supposed to ratify this today.
No.
That's what I got out of the paper.
Well, it was wrong.
Okay, well, and that's good.
It's only a discussion today.
The one thing that stands out glaringly to me is that with the Citizens Advisory Committee, that there was never an option for EMS to stand on its own, which I can't believe why that wasn't explored. EMS was part of the fire district at one time, and there was more concern with chrome lug nuts instead of cannulas, and that's why they pulled away from and went on their own. The first 5 years they were away from the fire district, things went great. And they probably should have stood alone on their own after that. They built a new building with a 5-year payoff. They paid it off in 3 years. Morale was high. One thing my brother understood was volunteers. I think they're being overlooked here. There was a major change after my brother died, and one of the major things that happened was a change in policy and an exodus of the volunteers. The volunteers are your backbone. Without volunteers, you have nothing. So I would really like to see either you or the Citizen Advisory Committee revisit that and see if maybe it's time that EMS stands alone. I've heard a lot about the benefits of the two departments getting together. recruitment. Volunteers for the fire department and volunteers for the EMS are two different animals. They're not the same at all. There's a couple of crossovers. But for the most part, people that come to EMS want to go to EMS. They don't want any politics involved in it. And they just want to go help people. And that's it. It's always when the politics seems to get involved in it that it goes to hell. Back that 5 years ago, there was no, I mean, everything was perfect. There was no politics. They got, EMS got their budget back because they didn't have it when it was with fire. And there was no religion involved in it. There was none of the other things that it causes angst. I mean, it was just, they were there to do a job and help people, and that was it. And morale was through the roof. I'm just afraid with this switch over with the joint merger that you might be looking at another mass exodus of volunteers, which isn't good for any of us. Change in personnel as of late at the fire department isn't good. I've seen it firsthand. There was a story about how EMS and fire worked together, woman in the water down at the port, and how everything went well and good communication. Well, through doing some checking around, that's the farthest from the truth. And this is what the people are getting in the paper, that everything's going lovely, and it's not. There again, politics. I'd like you guys to take a real good look at letting EMS get its own board, stand on its own, govern itself. It didn't work with fire the first time. I don't have high hopes that it will the second time. I'm not sure exactly because I haven't kept up on it, why it's not working out with hospital, but it doesn't seem that it's working out with hospital either. So let them go on their own. But levy's the same. They'll have their own volunteer base. And there again, at a bare minimum, just look into it. That's all I ask. Just look into it. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we have Barbara.
Hi, Barbara Sharp. The Citizens Advisory Group took over a year to present a very well thought out and logical path for merger of EMS with the fire department. And they emphasized transparency and community outreach all along the way. The steering committee, formed after the CAG report in April, met for 5 months, if that, before suddenly springing this contract, which forces a merger consolidating the sole power over EMS functions and the fire chief. This is fundamentally flawed on many levels. First of all, the contract of this nature is substantially premature. Now, I'm afraid I'm putting a little finer point on it than some of my predecessors, but, you know, I'm a fine, quite kind of person. It puts the cart before the horse, and the horse is still in the barn. There are many steps that should be followed, and they were outlined by the CAG report before even considering such a radical change in administrative function. There's things to be considered, balloting, levy, boundary issues, all should be resolved before there's any change in administration. And that includes annexation of the town of Friday Harbor. And all licenses need to be in place. Policies and procedures. Now I understand the two chiefs are working together great and getting together on that, and that's great. They can continue to do that. But don't force that administrative change while they're still hashing things out. There's other issues that need to be settled, such as CID investigation, there's audit. But most notably is that there's no clear oversight of the fire department chief. By the plain language of the contract, he makes his own budget, presents it to the PhD board, but there's no mention of approval. Now, you have to have oversight. I'm a firm believer in oversight. And there's not any oversight in this contract. Another example, the fire department chief had really no jurisdiction over the current paramedic union contract. I think there's some language that take care of it to the extent possible. Well, no extent possible was a union contract. A union contract is a union contract. Plus, the fire chief was not a party to it. He didn't negotiate it, he didn't sign it. He's not a party to that contract. But most importantly, I think there needs to be a lot of outreach, community outreach, and transparency before taking any kind of major step. And this is a particular concern to the people in the town of Freddie Harbor. And again, the CAC report emphasized the need for this kind of outreach. So in summary, I think this is ill-timed, ill-completed, and should be had. If you want this kind of administrative function, then it should take place way further down the merger road. Thank you.
Tend to echo
what's
Rick Fraser. So my name is Rick Fraser, and I want to address what I perceive as a premature takeover of the EMS system by the fire. It goes to the intent of the contract that was introduced at the fire department board meeting last week and has been under development since early summer. As many of you are aware, I was part of the Citizens Advisor Group that was chartered to analyze the integration of the EMS system into fire. The team spent the better part of last year and early this year interviewing many individuals and organizations and gathering a lot of information. One piece of information that was presented was the idea of an interlocal agreement to run the EMS system by the fire department while the integration was moving forward. At its conclusion, the CAG released a document that recommended an integration with several absolute conditions to follow the recommendation. As part of the presentation to the board and public, it outlined its findings, and a statement was made by the chair of the CAG based on feedback to the committee and the committee's discussion that an interlocal agreement would not be a recommended course of action. The reasoning behind the statement was the degree of complexity involved in bringing municipal organizations together that have different district boundaries, levies that need to be approved, and union contracts that need to be addressed. There are also HR salary issues that need to be integrated, federal and state licenses that need to be transferred or obtained new. In addition, clinical policies, procedures, and practices need to be transferred. Financial budgets, both operational and capital, need to be approved. Current liabilities of the organizations need to be disposed. And most importantly, the acceptance and approval of what I call the resident shareholders of both organizations. To date, I'm not aware of any of these issues that have been accomplished or even planned out. I am not aware that any plans have been presented to the community, and yet this contractual agreement puts the fire department, and especially their employee, the new fire chief, as CEO of the EMS organization. The contract spells out that the fire chief makes ultimate decisions and runs the EMS organization. This contract is also being entered into prior to a brand new PhD board coming into office within the next 3 months, which leaves the new PhD board carrying all the liabilities and exposures of the fire chief's decisions without having a vote. Any of those decisions can carry heavy fines and potentially other penalties, as this board is aware. While I believe many of the individuals involved in the process have very good intentions about their decisions and directions, the ramification of these actions, and even demonstrated this week and with the individuals here, I think you fully understand. So, in conclusion, I again would echo, allow the people that are going to be liable for the decisions, as Carl just mentioned, just previously in his, the first thing coming up is the levy of 2022, and that there isn't a rush, his own words, or they're not in a rush right now. So I would suggest that you heed those words and look at slowing the process down, allowing the new board to come in, and allow them, who has ownership and the liabilities of the licenses, the Medicare, Medicaid license, the union contract, and everything else that's associated with it, the levies, they are the ones that are going to be, at the end of the day, held accountable for the decisions that are made. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. Here,
I want to see
that. I better see this from all of it.
Okay,
yeah, get that information. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to...
Anybody else want to submit?
I just asked. I'd like to take a 10-minute break and then come back for the rest of the meeting. We could do that. So we'll come back at, what, like, just about 10 minutes.